In the previous episode, I talked about the conversation with a girl in high school who's doing the class on the Communist Manifesto. And after she had left, it occurred to me, here's what I should have asked her. Is, out of the other high school students in your class, how many of them agree with you that communism is a bad idea and responsible for evil, and how many of them think communism is a good idea? That would have been a good question to get an answer to.
Just on the border of your waking mind, there lies another time where darkness and light are one. And as you tread the halls of sanity, you feel so glad to be unable to go beyond. I have a message from another time.
I got a message for all you cucks out there. Message is, stop sending your children to public school. All right, you guys are lucky. I love you. I spent about an hour going through this research paper. I almost called it a scientific study, but research paper that we talked about in episode 2 of this series. And we're going to delve into this a bit more, do some analysis, do some thinking, you know, all that shit that's really painful that people don't like to do. I still haven't read the entire paper word for word all the way through because it's too painful. There's so much just statement of the obvious. It's like listening to my own podcast. It's like, hey, if you send your children to public school, you're a cuck. Hey, if you ever said some stupid shit like, well, we can't kill the people who are trying to kill us because then we'll be just like them. Well, you're a fucking cuck, right? If you've ever said that, I don't know, women always vote socialist, but then you think women should vote, you're probably a cuck. It's just statements of the obvious. And this so-called research paper is hilarious because it's just one fucking statement of the obvious after another. And of course, what's really happening here is it's a bunch of worthless people that can't get real jobs getting paid my tax money to do this bullshit.
Is Radio Free. Yeah. It's all about you.
One time.
I'ma say it's all about you, baby.
It's all about you.
It's Drew Round in the house with my boy Pizknock, you know
it's
what I'm saying?
It's all about you.
Yeah, I'ma say it's all about you, but you know I'm lying now. Yeah.
You probably crooked as the last trick. Wanna laugh at how I got my ass caught up with this bad bitch. Thinking I had her, but she had me in the long run. It's just my luck, I'm stuck with fucking with the wrong one. Wise decisions based on lies we live in. Scandalous times, these games like my religion. You could be rolling with a thug. Instead, you with this weak scrub looking for some love in every club. I see you staring like you want it. Well, baby, if you got it, better flown it. Let the liquor help you get a bonus. I'm still tipsy from last night. Bumping the walls as a balls, addicted to the fast life. I try to holler, but you tell me you take it. Saying you ain't impressed with the money you make. Guess it's true what they telling me. Fresh out of jail, life's hell for a black celebrity. So that's the reason why I call, and maybe you with it. Fantasies of a sweating, can I hit it? Addicted to the things you do, but still true. What I'm saying, boo, is this is all about you.
Every other city we go, every other baby.
It's all about you.
No matter where I go, I see the same hole. Every other city we go, every other baby.
It's all about you.
No matter where I go, I see the same hole.
I make a promise if you go with me. Just let me know I had you hollering my name out before I leave. Nobody loves me, I'm a thug nigga. I only hung out with the criminals and drug dealers. I love niggas, cause we coming from the same place. Witness me holler at a hoot, you see how quick the game takes. I cannot tell her I'm a player, and I don't even care. Creep though, weed smokes in the air. Everywhere I go, it's all about the groupie hoes. Waiting for niggas at the end of every show. I just seen you with my friends, video. I never put a baby for my friends, so here we go. Follow the leader and beat the drama that I'm going through. It's all about you.
You nigga.
It's all about you.
Every other city we go, every other baby.
It's all about you.
No matter where I go, I see the same hoes. Every other city we go, every other baby show.
It's all about you.
No matter where I go, I see the same hoes.
Is you sick from the dick, or is it the flu? It ain't about you or your bitch ass crew. Every other city we go, in every video explain to a nigga why I see the same shitty hoe. You think it's all about you, but boo, I get down like Drew and my nasty new niggas.
You couldn't hold me back, it'd take a fatter track, a lyrical attack perhaps. It was a visual block when I started to snap. Slow your road, I'm swole, straight in control. Flows a bow, my hoes hold strong, hold a set. I told you I'm a scrolling next. Go digging, cold digging a go rope. I slide in easily, dry a greasily. Sluts know the cut, I came to fuck, try skeezing me. Running up in you just like Regina when I been you. At the most, I fuck a bitch from the west coast to West Virginia.
Every other city we go, every other lady,
it's all about you.
No matter where I go, I see the same hoes. Every other city we go, every other lady,
it's all about you.
No matter where I go, I see the same hoes. Every other city we go, every other lady,
it's all about you.
No matter where I go, I see the same hoes. Every other city we go, every other lady.
Every other city we go, I see the same hoes in the studio, I'm kicking it in the video. It's gotta be the same ass and thighs, but you's a groupie, baby, and don't look surprised. I can see it in your eyes that you nothing but a trick. Hanging with us for some superstar dick, want an autograph placed on her napkin. After she asks, ain't you the top dog and don't you be rapping? She know it's cracking. Flick shows like Luke, from the limos down to the Lexus coupes. We be flossing, and all females love that, especially when you're dope, platinum, and your own way. So when I met you, I really didn't have to say much, cause me alone just made you wanna taste and touch. Don't be tripping if I run up and you and your whole crew. I'ma still let you know, girl, that it's all about chill, chill, chill.
Ah, yes, it's all about you, isn't it, girls? While we were listening to the introduction song there, I was on the interwebs, and I have to stop. Oh, God, I have to stop. I have to stop. By the way, if you want to send me emails and tell me to stop going on the interwebs, you can send me that email to God, that's furbaby spelled backwards, God, at cynlibsoc.com on the interwebs. And in case you just ran across this podcast somewhere out there on the ethernet and you're wondering where this came from, well, you can find the Cynical Libertarian Society at cynlibsoc.com on the interwebs. And yes, I have been podcasting for 13 years. It'll be 14 years on November the 1st. That is longer than the Third Reich existed. Today is August the 27th, in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trumpenfuhrer, 2018, who still has not put Hillary Clinton in jail. All right. So because the paper we're about to talk about, originally I discovered that via, what is this thing called again? Hang on. The Week in Patriarchy from TheGuardian.com, written by Arwa Mwadia, a fucking 40-year-old wall hitter with a fur baby. I had this queued up in the browser so I could reference it, and I thought, well, you know, let's see what happened this week in the patriarchy, because surely this is a new week. We got some new patriarchy. Let's see what's going on. Well, this was a bad idea. This was a very, very bad idea to see what's going on in the patriarchy. It starts off with something about Republican wanting to make abortion illegal or something like that, but then it's down here. He was having a affair with a 24-year-old patient, and he pressured her to get an abortion, yada, yada, yada. Who cares? As I keep telling you, Republicans are not going to make abortion illegal. Actually, in, I don't know if it was Older Brother podcast or if it was in T.J. Martinell's podcast, so I finally started listening to the Mountain Pass podcast. I've only listened to the first two episodes so far. I think, if my memory is serving me correct, it was T.J. Martinell, who continues to be one of the smartest people on the planet Earth, as far as I can tell, which is another way of saying he agrees with me most of the time. I think it was T.J. Martinell who mentioned that the Republicans are, excuse me, the Republicans are never going to make abortion illegal because they make too much money fundraising with the promise of making abortion illegal. Which is, I've only been saying that for, oh, I don't know, what, 7 years? God, it's so wonderful when the rest of the planet Earth catches up with. I can't wait for you people to figure out, wait, we actually can build roads without the government. A road is just a flat place on the ground. It's not that hard. Oh, I can't wait till the rest of you catch up with the great one. Because when you fucking, you know, conservathots and cucks and progressives and right-wingers and alt-righters, when y'all look ahead of you into the future, and you see way out there on the horizon, there's this little plume of dust kind of billowing up into the air. It's really small. That's me. That's me way the fuck out there. So far ahead of you dipshits. Hang on, I have to muck about with my mug of tea. My tea of mug is what I was going to say. There's no such thing. All right. Get my fresh mug of hot mint tea. All right, we are ready to bitch slap Themistatist. Adam Piggott wrote a post talking about how all feminists are socialist. I coined the phrase Themistatist because all feminists are statist, and statism is about taking resources away from other people and giving it to you. Thus, essentially saying that all feminists are socialist. Congratulations, Adam. You caught up with where I was 4 years ago. Good job. Oh my God, on episode 16 of the Older Brother podcast, Aaron Clary said that we should turn off the welfare and just see if people can survive or not. Congratulations. Congratulations, Aaron. You finally caught up with where I was 5 years ago. Oh, I love it. Oh, I do. I love it when I hear smart people catching up to me. All right, speaking of smart people, let's talk about a place where there are no smart people. Smart people, theguardian.com. Yes, it is 11 o'clock. Thank you very much. Okay, here we go. Let me read these to you. Saudi Arabia set to execute a woman's rights activist. It's really hard to dislike Muslims sometimes. Saudi Arabia lifted the ban on women driving earlier this year amid much fanfare. So is the repressive kingdom finally embracing women's rights? Absolutely not. In fact, the kingdom is on the verge of executing Izara al-Gamaraham, a female political activist. Bravo. Bravo. The great one. Are you just trying to... No, I'm not trying to trigger people. Right? We played that video where those two feminists with their fucking tits hanging out jumped on the stage and interrupted that Islamic presentation, and the Muslim guys ran them off stage, and when the one chick fell down, they just started kicking the shit out of her. No, that is exactly how feminists should be treated. Oh, but great one, we can't do that. We have to take the high road. Oh, I can hear the fucking high road cucks right now. Well, it's wrong to execute feminist activists. Oh, yes. And that's why you're cucks. And that's why you're going to go extinct. Because, oh, we're going to take the high road. See, Muslims aren't interested in the fucking high road. They're interested in victory. They're interested in survival. And I have to admire that. right? Said it before, I'll say it again. I, the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, been on the internet since 1999. I can say lots of bad things about Muslims. I can, I will, I have. But you know what? They're not cowards. They're not cowards. And they are interested in victory. And they know how to control their women. And that's why their civilization is not on the decline like ours is. There are no Muslims sitting around going, oh, let's enjoy the... That's not a Muslim accent. The fuck? How do you do it? What is a Muslim accent? I don't even know. There's no Muslims sitting around going, hey, let's enjoy the decline. They're not having a decline. They're coming over here and they're getting all the good stuff. All right, enough ranting. Let's get back to this. She is one of many jailed women's rights activists. One of many jailed women's rights activists. Because all women's rights activists should be in jail. That's just a beautiful sentence. She is one of many jailed women's rights activists and may face execution with a sword for participating in anti-government protest. Yes. Yes. Saudi Arabia cut ties with Canada earlier this year after the country urged it to release these activists. Meanwhile, the American government is keeping deafeningly silent. No doubt Trump would love to jail women's rights activists himself. No, actually he wouldn't, because Donald Trump, for all the shit talking, he's a cuck. He's had over a year to put Hillary Clinton in jail. I know, he's the Trumpenfuhrer. He's the Make America Great Again, MAGA dude. No, he's a fucking cuck. He's a cuck. Meet the new queen of Tinder. Oh, you're going to love this one. Oh, wait a minute. She's a model. I can't wait to see how ugly this chick is. Please, 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 God, let there be a photo of her. Oh my God, really? We're rehashing this fucking thing where this ugly woman walks around New York and gets harassed by almost exclusively brown and black men? Are we really fucking rehashing that? Alright, no. No, I want a fucking photo of her. Oh my God. All right, she is not that fucking attractive. And why do I have to have a pop-up? Are you sure? Okay, guys, where was this? New York? You men have got to raise your fucking standards, guys. This chick is not that good looking. Well, she's in New York. Okay, last Sunday, Natasha Apathy, a New York-based model, which when I type her into Google, like pretty much nothing comes up. Hold on. Come. Oh, here we go. Here's her modeling page. Oh my God. Okay, this... No. Great one. Would you bang? No. I'm a New York City-based model, actress, and singer. In 15 years, she is going to be hashtag MeTooing people. She's a model, actress, and singer. What that means is she's a waitress. I have been traveling the world for 2 years now. In other words, she's a prostitute, collaborating with many photographers and creatives all over. I have been to 15 plus countries, plus is for pedophile, 15 plus countries so far and really love it. I'm currently in New York City and would love to meet and collaborate with photographers to create beautiful photos. Well, first of all, sweetie, you would need to bring an attractive girl with you in order to create beautiful photos. Hold on, I want to see, didn't I see her? Where the fuck did that go? Oh. Hold on, great one. Yeah, no, just wait for it. I want to see the Instagram. Here we go, we're opening up her Instagram. Oh, her account is private. Probably because of the stunt she pulled that I'm gonna read to you if we ever get around to it. Okay, fun fact about me, I'm a vegetarian/vegan. Have you vegans ever considered shutting the fuck up about being a vegan? Did you know that no one gives a shit? That's not a fun fact. That's you virtue signaling. That's you being an attention whore. So, all right, links will be in the show notes. She is not attractive. I mean, look, her body, she's not fat, but she's not attractive. She is very, very average. Okay, I have like 200,000 tabs open here. New York-based model set up a mass date with hundreds of guys from Tinder. When they had all arrived at Union Square for what they thought was a one-on-one date, she told the gaggle of guys that dating apps were, quote, difficult, unquote, so she decided to, quote, bring everyone in person and see how that goes, unquote. Forget ghosting, is crowding now going to become all the rage? Okay, so you see, once again, I know there are cucks right now listening to this who think that women should have jobs and vote. Okay, here is a woman, she's a vegan, who just admitted that dating apps are difficult. Now, I did Tinder for a little, because I checked it out. So they'll pick, and you either move your finger left, if you want, I think left is if you don't want to fuck somebody, and you move your finger right if you do want to fuck somebody. That's too difficult for her. That's difficult. So of course she should vote. I mean, she should make political, social, economic, philosophical decisions that affect the entire population of the planet Earth. And she should probably have a job, you know, in finance. Maybe she should be an engineer. Who knows? Because dating apps are difficult. The geography of sexism. A new index of sexist attitude. I need to click on the link. We've got to do this. A new index of sexist attitude developed by Economist ranks Arkansas as the most sexist state in the U.S. and New Hampshire as the least. If you want more info on why that is, I suggest you find a man from Arkansas to explain it to you. Actually, it's because in Arkansas they have sex with their sisters. New Hampshire, wait, New Hampshire, isn't that where the Free State Project is? See, and this is why I can't associate with libertarians anymore, because they're like, yeah, man, it's like everything is cool. No, actually, not everything is cool. That doesn't mean it should be illegal for the stupid people, but that doesn't mean it's cool. All right, so where's the key? Here we go. More sexism is a darker color. Less sexism. Oh, look, Colorado ranks as less sexism. Texas is right above the middle. So the really sexist places are Arkansas, Utah, of course. What is that? That's, what state is that? That's Mississippi. All right, that's enough of that. Moving on, because we got a lot of shit to talk about. And what's here? And then, of course, the Guardian at the bottom is asking for money. For as little as a dollar, you can support the Guardian. Because we can't make any money writing shit about patriarchy and feminism. All right, okay, moving on. We gotta get going. By we, I mean I. It has nothing to do with you. All right, we are back to this so-called scientific study exploring the impact of personal and partner traits on sexuality, sexual excitation, sexual inhibition, and Big Five predict sexual function in couples. Now, the way we got here is, remember, in This Week in Patriarchy, this 40-year-old wall hitter with a fur baby said the following thing. A recent study published in the Journal of Sex Research found that, quote, men whose partners had less emotional stability reported better sexual function, unquote. Sounds really healthy, guys. So this is an attack on men because, according to this piece of research, men whose partners are less emotionally stable report better sexual function. All right. So let's have a look at some of the things that are in this here paper. Some statements of the obvious, if we can. Sexually related traits were measured with the sexual excitation / sexual inhibition inventory for women and men. Personality was measured with self-report and partner rating versions of the Big Five inventory. Sexual excitation was a positive, and sexual inhibition was a negative predictor of sexual function in both genders. Women whose partners were sexually inhibited reported lower sexual function. So, being sexually excited is a positive predictor of sexual function, and being sexually inhibited is a negative predictor of sexual function. Which is kind of like saying being thrown in the ocean is a positive predictor of being wet. Being in the Sahara Desert is a negative predictor of being wet. Women whose partners were sexually inhibited reported lower sexual function. So if you're a woman, and you're fucking a man, and a man can't get his dick up, which is your problem, because the reason he can't get his dick up is because you're not attractive, but if the man you're fucking can't get his dick up, you're going to have lower sexual function. If the person you're fucking can't actually fuck you. Another thing about these papers, none of this is really defined. For example, lower sexual function. What exactly does that mean? Right? One aspect of science is that words have meaning. Okay? In physics, things have meaning. In astronomy, words have meaning. In shit like that, what does this mean? Lower sexual function. What exactly is and is not sexual function? Lower than what? That's what I was trying to find out after reading this fucking article and looking at the data sets for over an hour. I don't know what these words mean. Lower than what? And also here we have the sexual excitation / sexual inhibition inventory for women and men. Okay, great. What is that? What are the questions that are asked? Once again, with your research papers are not people. Researchers who do legitimate research put forth all of this information. This paper, in addition to being very poorly written and difficult to understand, I mean more so than your normal research paper, One of the things they don't have is, well, what are the exact questions you asked in order to classify these people on the Big Five inventory? Where is the questionnaire you used? I can't find it. So I go searching for this sexual excitation / sexual inhibition inventory for women and men, which should be attached on the paper so I could see the questions, but it's not there. So I go searching for this, and I found something that might be it. Let me find this. Where? Oh God, I have so many tabs open. Fuck me. Only if you're a cute girl, though. Then you can fuck me. Where? Where is... Oh, it's right here. Here's some questions from this test. And remember, all of this is self-reported. The Big Five, the sex test, all of this is self-reported. Here's the questions. Some of the questions. I think about sex a lot when I am bored. Just talking about sex is enough to put me in a sexual mood. When I think about someone I find sexually attractive, I easily become sexually aroused. Sometimes I am so attracted to someone I cannot stop myself from becoming sexually aroused. Just being physically close with a partner is enough to turn me on. If I see a partner interacting well with others, I am more easily sexually aroused. I find it arousing when a partner does something nice for me. Someone doing something that shows he/she is intelligent turns me on. If a partner surprises me by doing chores, it sparks my sexual interest. I haven't read these. I find it harder to get sexually aroused if other people are nearby. Are these other people attractive or are they fat? If it is possible someone might see or hear us having sex, it is more difficult for me to get aroused. If I feel that I am expected to respond sexually, I have difficulty getting aroused. If I think about whether I will have an orgasm, it is much harder for me to become aroused. Sometimes I have so many worries that I am unable to get aroused. Sometimes I feel so shy or self-conscious during sex that I cannot become fully aroused. If I am concerned about being a good lover, I am less likely to become aroused. When I am having sex, I have to focus on my own sexual feelings in order to stay aroused. When the person I am having sex with is overweight or unattractive, I have difficulty becoming aroused. Oh wait, that's not a question, but it should be. If I am uncertain how my partner feels about me, it is harder for me to get aroused. While having sex, it really decreases my arousal if my partner is not sensitive to the signals I am giving. If interferes with my arousal if there is not a balance of giving and receiving pleasure during sex. That's supposed to be it interferes. We have a typo. I love when science proofreads. I really need to trust a partner to become fully aroused. If I think that a partner might hurt me emotionally, I put the brakes on sexually. It would be hard for me to become sexually aroused with someone who is involved with another person. If I think that I am being used sexually, it completely turns me off. So there's some of the questions. Oh my God. Okay. Get back to this. And then I'm going to need this. Okay. From the study. In men, the most common sexual dysfunctions include erectile or ejaculatory problems. Once again, science. Those are not problems men have. Those are problems caused by women not being sufficiently attractive. The sexual lives of partners in a steady relationship are intertwined and are often negatively affected if one partner experiences sexual difficulties. Did you know that if two people are having a steady relationship, that their sex lives are intertwined? I bet you didn't know that until science figured it out with our tax money. And did you know that if one person in the pair of people having sex is having sexual difficulties, then the other person is affected? Why, did you know that if two people are in a romantic relationship and one of them is not wanting to have sex, them not wanting to have sex affects the other person? Wait, did you know that? All this time, I thought like people who are married had completely separate sex lives that had nothing to do with each other. Wow. Thank you, science. More precisely, this article focuses on the relevance of two propensities that are closely related to sexual function, namely sexual excitation and sexual inhibition, neither of which are defined. But did you know that being sexually excited or sexually inhibited is related to sexual function? I mean, did you know that? Holy shit! Thank you, science. I am so happy that science is here to explain these things. One exception is Eisneck, who, more than 40 years ago, started to investigate the impact of extroversion, emotional stability, and psychoticism on sexual attitudes and behavior using samples of undergraduate students. What do we say about taking a look at who people's sample size and sample selection come? Undergraduate students, there are some people I want to study to find out about normal human behavior. He found that individuals with high levels of extroversion were more open to sexual experiments, had more partners, and engaged more often in sexual activities compared to more introverted people. So did you know that people who go out and meet other people and talk to other people have more sex than people who stay at home in their mom's basement? Well, we know that now because there's no way you could have intuitively figured that out because, well, you're not a scientist. You didn't receive any government funding. Individuals low on emotional stability reported more frequent sexual dysfunction and lower sexual satisfaction. So people who are insane have more sexual dysfunction and lower sexual satisfaction. Shocking. In one study, men with a diagnosed sexual dysfunction had significantly lower emotional stability. Than sexually healthy participants. Well, of course, because these men are dating or married to ugly women. And then here's my favorite. Did we do this already? Sexual excitation was a positive predictor and sexual inhibition was a negative predictor in both genders. Okay. Men whose partners had less emotional stability reported better sexual function. See, that's the key right there. That's the one sentence that's got everything cruising here. How did we get to that conclusion? So far, as reading through this paper as best I can, I have not yet figured out how they got to that conclusion. Now, there's some data, but how you read this data and figured it out, I don't know. Unless, hold on, the great one just thought of something. All right, let me find this. God, this is terribly, terribly formatted. Display table, is this what I'm looking for? This is what I'm looking for. Okay. Where are you going? What's the CSV gonna give me? Save, okay. Drop that in the linkage, save. All right, everybody just suck it up for a minute. If this is, if I'm getting a dump of the actual raw data, no, of course not. Of course not. So in order to back this assertion up, that men whose partners had less emotional stability, men whose partners had less emotional stability reported better sexual function. In order to back that statement up, we need to see some data where you see it broken down by couple and where the men, and we still don't know less than what. It never specifies less than what. I'm going to assume it means less emotional stability than the man. Okay? So I need to see it broken down by couples where you see the man, his emotional stability is, say, 3.1, and the woman's emotional stability is, say, 2.7. And then we need to see their sexual function on whatever scale that's on, and also reported better sexual function, better sexual function than what? Better sexual function than the average? Better sexual function than men whose partners had greater emotional stability? I don't mean to just drive this into the ground. My point, my point is, when you hear someone spewing some shit about how some, a study has been done and found out that Arkansas is the most sexist state. Really? Okay. How'd you get your data points? How large are your data points? What's your sample size? How is it collected? What are the actual questions you asked? Where's all this look. You know, it's like, well, Donald Trump is literally Hitler. Okay. How did you reach that conclusion? What are your data points? So let's have a look at the data points such as we're able to get them. Sexual function. What? Wait a minute. Sexual function, and see, it tells us, so remember, all of this is self-reported. Sexual function, there's a range. For women, the range is 1.2 to 36. For men, the range is 5 to 75. Okay, so why are there two different ranges based on gender? And isn't that like transphobic or something? Now, there's no indicator I can find about how this sexual function was measured. What questions did we ask? Why are there two different ranges? Yada, yada, yada. So for women, their scale is 1.2. Why is it 1.2? Why can it not be 1? What is this? 1.2 to 36. Their means was 24.18. Now, unless they're saying the range, unless it's the overall range, so women's sexual function ranged from 1.2 to 36, while men ranged from 5 to 75 on the same scale. Okay. I get it. For males, the means was 54.92. So in other words, men's sexual function is twice as good as women's on the means. And women's sexual function, so the top of their range on this scale, well, let's assume it's 1 to 100. The top for women on sexual function is 36. The top for men is 75. So women are excruciatingly, compared to men, sexually... Well, I still don't know what sexual function really means because it's not defined. But whatever sexual function is in this study, women only have 36 units of it, while men have 75 units of it at the top end. Relationship duration. The range is from 0 to 66 years. Now, how can your range be 0 to 66 years? If your relationship is 0 years, how can your data be entered into a study where you're studying people in a relationship and their sexual functioning? The mean on this was 23.98 years. Relationship satisfaction, 0 to 100, is our range. All the numbers I'm going to give you, this is the mean, because I want to keep saying the mean. So I'm giving you nothing but mean numbers. For women's, 81.65. For men, 81.54. Health, self-reported. Which all of this is self-reported. I don't know why they... Well, okay, I guess. But at least, yeah. Anyway, never mind. You call someone's doctor. Health, women, 79.85, 0 to 100 scale. Men, 78.56. Okay, sexual excitation, which we still don't really know what that means. But the range is 1 to 4. Women, 2.26. Men, 2.48. Now, the standard deviation for women is 0.39, and the standard deviation for men is 0.37. 2.26 and 2.48 are not that far apart. You throw in the deviation, and there's pretty much no fucking difference. Sexual inhibition, range 1 to 4. Women, 2.82. Men, 2.46. Standard deviations, 0.41 and 0.42. So again, the difference between 2.82 and 2.46, not much, but women are slightly more inhibited. Women are slightly less excited. Okay, extroversion. Here's our big five traits. We're getting ever closer to exploring the question of, you know, men are more sexually happy with women who are, what's the fucking phrase again, less emotionally stable. We're building up. This is like an orgasm. We're building up to the final release here. Extroversion. 1 to 5 is our scale. Women rate 3.42. Remember, all self-reported. Women 3.42. Men 3.34. Standard deviations 0.78 and 0.83 respectively. Virtually no difference. Agreeableness. Women. And if you're one of these people who thinks there's no difference between men and women, I mean, you could use this and say, look, there's virtually no difference between men and women. I mean, you could. Agreeableness, again, 1 to 5. Women, 3.51. Men, 3.35. Standard deviations, 0.52 and 0.56. 3.51 and 3.35, virtually no difference. Conscientiousness, otherwise known as virtue signaling. Women, 4.0. That's their highest score. Men, 3.84. Standard deviations, 0.63 and 0.66. Difference between 3.84 and 4.0, not much. Openness to experience, otherwise known as propensity to ride the cock carousel in women. Women, openness to experience, 3.63. Men, 3.29. Standard deviations, 0.76 and 0.81. Again, virtually no fucking difference. Finally, emotional stability. Women, 2.97, their lowest score. Is anyone surprised by that? That of the big five, women score themselves lowest in emotional stability? Anyone? Bueller? Men, 3.42. Standard deviations, 0.72 and 0.74. Still not that much of a difference. Okay, but if women, as a means, have lower emotional stability than men, as a means, to sit here and say, well, men like it when women have lower emotional stability. Okay, but then statistically speaking, based on what you've come up with here, women have slightly lower emotional stability. The idea that this is some kind of fucking giant crisis is ridiculous. Well, I'm thinking about what did men score the highest on? Because women scored the highest on, lowest on emotional stability. Men scored the lowest on openness. And men scored the highest on conscientiousness. Take that, women, because women care so much. Women scored the highest on, conscientiousness, more than men. So after all this work, I'm serious, over an hour of looking at this fucking thing, I still have no idea what this really means. But it sounds good, doesn't it? Men whose partners had less emotional stability reported better sexual function. I mean, and we don't know what questions are used to arrive at this big five. Maybe these less emotional stable women are just not cunts. Maybe they're just not filled with hatred. Maybe they're just normal.